Welcome to a new episode of the Film at Lincoln Center podcast. This week, we're excited to present a conversation with A Different Man director Aaron Schinberg and lead actor Sebastian Stan from this year's edition of New Directors, New Films. With the hotly anticipated follow-up to his critically acclaimed sophomore feature, Chained for Life, New York-based director Aaron Schinberg boldly announces himself as one of the most fearless and socially incisive new voices in American independent cinema, with the 2024 New Directors, New Films opening night selection, A Different Man. Sebastian Stan, winner of this year's Silver Bear for Best Leading Performance at the Berlin Film Festival, offers an ingeniously embodied performance as Edward, an aspiring actor with severe facial disfigurement, to whom we're introduced as he navigates a dreary daily existence, marked by discouragement and resignation. When a winsome playwright moves in next door, and an experimental medical procedure becomes available to change his face, Edward's outlook brightens, and he jumps at the chance for a new lease on life. Until the arrival of Oswald, an outgoing and warmly charismatic stranger, puts his newfound normalcy into perspective, and his artistic aspirations in jeopardy. Schinberg's latest is a discomfiting tour de force, a social satire that wrangles thorny questions of identity and authenticity with unflinching honesty and slyly virtuosic storytelling flair. Taking place from April 3rd through April 14th, Film at Lincoln Center and the Museum of Modern Art present the 53rd edition of New Directors, New Films, the annual festival that presents filmmakers who speak to the present and anticipate the future of cinema, and whose bold work pushes the envelope in unexpected, striking ways. This year's selection is now underway, and tickets are going fast. Get yours today at newdirectors.org. Now please enjoy the conversation between Aaron Schinberg and Sebastian Stan, moderated by New Directors, New Films co-chair Dan Sullivan.
If it's okay with you guys, I wanted to start at the beginning. Aaron, I was hoping you could tell us a little bit about sort of the point of departure for the film, and sort of, you know, what set the writing of it into motion. Because, you know, it occurs to me that following your previous feature, Chained for Life, I mean, there's some, you know, this film shares, I think, some perhaps thematic formal concerns with that film, but of course, this film has other things on its mind, and it takes some of the ideas from the previous film, pushes them way further. So can you tell us a little bit about sort of how this all germinated?
I don't know exactly where it started, but a few starting points. I wanted to work with Adam Pearson again. He played a sort of mild-mannered person in my last film, and he has a pretty extroverted personality, and I felt his performance was underrated in that film because I think people thought he was playing a version of himself, and he wasn't. I think it's a very nuanced performance, but I wanted to basically write something that was more like him, maybe taken to the opposite extreme to show off his range. That was one thing I was thinking about. Another thing I was thinking about was with that film, some people, not many, but some people said the film was sort of inherently exploitative just by casting Adam Pearson and casting other people with disabilities and disfigurements, which is an issue that, you know, I have a cleft palate, and it's always been a sort of lifelong interest for me. So, and so I thought, you know, that criticism stung a little bit because it's sort of the opposite of what we think of as representation. Having somebody with a disfigurement play themselves, if that's not okay, and then we have this other, we still, of course, cast able-bodied people in makeup or whatever, that's still done, but that's, you know, that seems problematic to use a fashionable term in its own way. And so it almost seemed like this is just something people don't want to see at all, or that it was there's a subset of the population that's just not allowed to be represented. So I one starting point was just I'm going to have somebody in makeup and somebody with the condition in the film and have them battle it out in the film. And that was sort of one of the starting points for it.
And Sebastian, I was I'm curious about your initial impressions when you got the script. And I actually I'm especially curious if that kind of this question about like the ethics of representing like the differently abled or the disfigured or so on for you as an actor who is going to have to wear prosthetics and so on in order to achieve this. I was wondering if that kind of if that interested you on some level or if that entered into kind of your thinking here.
Well, it's funny because I actually asked Aaron after I read it. I was like, but just to make sure, am I reading this right? Like, you want, am I playing, like, the beginning part? Because I really actually thought I'd read it correctly. But he was like, no, it's, this is how I want it to be. And I said, okay. And I understood what he was after and you know, and I thought it was just beautifully written and executed in terms of, and in a very unique, very different way, and it's such it was such an amazing script. It was so unpredictable, and it was challenging my thinking in so many different ways. And as you've seen, like there's these amazing characters in the movie, and there were even more because there was a couple scenes that didn't make it, but and they all seem to have a life of their own. You know, they're all very real, and they have their moment. And so when you're reading it, oftentimes when you're reading scripts, you know, you can really kind of tell, oh, this is the scene that is going to foreshadow this, or this is we're learning this now about the character in order to feel this later. And I, like, with this one, I just really couldn't tell. It's like every scene was very complex and real and was revealing things, but in a very, very subtle, authentic way. So it was just really, really exciting. And of course, as an actor, you're always looking to challenge yourself and do something different and try something else. But this also spoke to me on a level of, you know, identity and self-truth and trying to understand oneself and this idea that we're all plagued with, you know, of somehow thinking you know what other people's lives are like and, you know, the grass is greener and all that stuff. It just, there were universal things to it that I thought were relatable, but more importantly was this idea that he was exploring on how often we so automatically fall into projections and judgments without even really being aware of it, certainly around anyone that looks different, you know?
And for both of you, I'd be interested to know a bit about the kinds of preparations that the two of you undertook together before production started, because like sort of like you were saying, I mean, there are physical demands and sight and psychological demands of you, but there are also these kind of like, meta demands, like the fact that you're going to be playing a guy who's then going to be playing an actor who's playing the original, you know? So it'd be one thing if you just had to incarnate someone's mind and body, but you also have to find your place within this complex structure.
And it's also that we shot it so counterintuitively where we would start, on the same day he would be Guy and Edward and Guy and Edward, and it was almost shot backwards in a way. So I don't know how he managed.
There are many times where I'm like, Aaron, but. I'm saying, right, like, I'm saying so many things at the same time. Like, it's like when they're, you know, when it gets into the play and he's like, I am this guy, like, I am, you know, and the whole thing that's so incredibly, incredibly so smart and how it's written and, you know, the way he's created the whole thing with when Edward loses the lead role, you know, that scene that's so... There's so many things that are being said at the same time. And like you said, it was, for an actor, it's just like being handed this amazing gift, you know, because you can do takes and try it in so many different ways. And it's all interpretive to how you are feeling, you know, at the time. Like, you may see it one way or you may see it another way. It's like they both could apply, you know, and so it's great.
And Aaron, I was also, one thing that occurred to me in watching this was, I mean, there are a lot of like familiar, for guys in our milieu, perhaps, there are a lot of familiar locations in this film, but like, the previous, you know, the previous film, Chain for Life, is like one location for the most part. You know, it's about this film shoot. So I'm wondering about the shift for you, sort of changing gears and kind of how you wrapped your head around this idea of making a film which has to, you know, it has to depict New York, and it has which has been done before, but of course a lot of people have tried and failed. So.
I mean, my first two films were basically shot in one location. That was a total budgetary consideration. I, you know, every time you add a location, you know, it just weighs the film down or the budget down. So, but my films have been shot in New York, but I would pick a location. But I did want to do a film that I guess had more scale and ambition. I had no idea how we were going to do it, certainly with the budgets that I was used to. I mean, my last film was made $200,000. So I sort of took a leap of faith, but I also, while writing about the city, I assumed that the first thing to be cut if we could get this movie funded, was that we'd have to, you know, we'd shoot it in some other city, in Albuquerque or something. We'd have to look like New York. So the whole time I was writing it, I was trying to stylize New York in such a way that if we couldn't shoot it here, somehow it would work. And fortunately, the producers thought, no, we have to shoot this in New York. And, but I thought of it always as a stylized version of New York, as not really based in reality. But then when I see the film, I actually think it's a highly accurate depiction of New York.
Why don't we take some audience questions? If you have a question, just raise your hand and we'll bring you a microphone. And we're going to start in the front row right here, right in front of us.
Hi, thank you. So much of this movie is like episodic interactions with like singular, like the subway guy or Charlie Korsmo or like random people. And I'm just wondering, is that exciting as an actor to just have these like interactions?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, but like it wasn't just any interaction, because again, like the scene with Charlie Korsmo, I mean, it's just, it's unbelievable. And
there's,
it was
a story there.
There is, because it was such an integral piece. And then Charlie flew that day, and
he lives in Cleveland.
He lives in Cleveland, and I was like, I grew up watching you. But then he got COVID, and we couldn't do it. Or we did a version of with him over the iPhone, and then we were going to shoot it later. And fortunately, we got to come back and get it out, get it again at the end of the movie. But it's a testament to the script and to Aaron really creating these people so real. And I mean, one of my favorite interactions, I mean, one of my favorite scenes and the thing that I love doing was right after the transformation or whatnot, you know, when the doctor comes and Edward's like, oh, he's dead. And the super just keeps interrupting their conversation, and that was, again, it was a brilliant staging by Aaron and how he did that. And it's so real, and even the super, you're like, well, where is he going tonight? You know, like, and so yeah, they're just, it doesn't always, it's not always as fun as that, but yeah.
Hi, thanks for the great film. I guess, like, I feel like this is the type of film where normally there would be a big, like, he would reveal to himself, to everyone, that he's Edward, but I guess the film doesn't really need that. Was that ever really in the script, I guess? And I guess what made you decide, like, not to do that if you did think of that in the first place?
No, I never wanted to go there, but I think the consideration of I knew that there would be that expectation, you know, like him, you know, he finally reveals himself to Ingrid. So I really tried to come up with ways where you would stop thinking about that, or where that wouldn't matter anymore, so that it didn't bog the film down waiting for this revelation. So I just sort of threw more things in there to make us forget that this was even an issue.
Hello. we saw the film last night and then again today, and I just wanted to say it's incredible. Probably your best work that I've seen, and just amazing. And I wanted to know if who we are as people is shaped by our experiences. How has the experience of making this film changed who you are as people?
Is that for me or Sebastian?
Either or.
I don't know if the film has changed me in any way. I've probably... although I always think of, I said this last night, you know, that films are therapy, or I think of them that way, and I always end up worse off than I was before I made the film. But I think one of the questions in the film is how much, are we shaped by our experiences? And I don't know the answer to these questions, if I looked that way, or if I could be cured, or any of these things, a lot of people, I think, say, I've heard people say, well, the message is really be yourself. Edward just had to accept himself the way Oswald does, and it's really Edward's fault. And that's not how I see it, because I see Oswald and Edward as two separate people with two separate experiences, and they're handling it different ways. And accepting oneself is certainly a goal. You could say accepting death, for instance, you'd be happier if you could accept the reality of death. And that may be true, but that doesn't mean that everybody can make that happen for themselves. And so I think accepting oneself is an ideal, but... maybe some people can do it, but other people, I think, struggle their whole lives to do so. And I don't think that they're to blame for that necessarily. So I don't see Edward being necessarily responsible for the way he behaves in the film. Or maybe he's responsible for the way he behaves, but I think he's been shaped by his experiences. And we don't know Oswald's experiences as much.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really hard. I think for me, it was just something I've really come around to thinking more in the last few years in my life. Was just, you know, I think we should just continue to keep questioning everything. You know, question your thoughts, question your feelings, your impulses, sometimes your instincts, because I think it's all about, I mean, it's just going to sound, I don't know, therapy, cliche, whatever, but it's all really about understanding, trying to understand yourself. And I think it's interesting, because if only he had, perhaps, but again, it goes back to the previous question, oh, why didn't he reveal himself to Ingrid and so on? Like, to me, the shame that he was carrying was so massive that he could never, like, ever deal with the idea of exposing that, you know, because he to some extent, hate, as far as I understood it, you know, had such a horrible relationship with that part of himself. And but you're not going to, like, learn that overnight. Like, that's just going to require to be brave and be able to kind of, like, look at yourself in ways that maybe you don't want to. And I think that sometimes, you know, we have these instincts and you just should just ask whether or not they're the right, they're, you know, where do they come from? Where are you getting those ideas and thoughts and so on? That's sort of what my takeaway was. Cause I don't know if you ever really truly accept yourself, even if you have success, like, it just doesn't get, it just, there's another mountain, there's another thing, there's another question, there's another problem you didn't have before. It's like, so I guess it's more rather than looking outside, continue to just look at what you're dealing with, you know?
Hello. I also saw the film last night, and it was amazing, just as amazing today. I had a question for Sebastian. So I noticed that Edward goes through a really complex emotional journey throughout the film, and your physicality was a large part of this. I was wondering how you approached this and what the most challenging part was. Thank you.
Well, I guess I was always really afraid about, you know, the second half of the movie, and whether how you know to kind of continue Edward's arc in a way that he feels continues to feel familiar and recognizable in ways because the script and the movie was asking such a big kind of a moment, you know, sort of that he's going through. And I think we worked on that a lot. I mean, I think I was informed a lot by the time that I had in the prosthetics and the time that I could, any minute I had in them was very informative. I remember the first time sort of that we tried them on and then I just would kind of see what impulses I was getting from it and sort of one led to the next and obviously just being out, I mean, I know I've said it 1,000 times, but you know, being out in public really helped. I mean, it was a very scary experience, and you know, I guess to some extent, though I'll never ever know, it's the closest I could ever have gotten to, you know, when someone says, actually, when we were in Berlin, you know, Adam's mom had said to me at one point, it's like, you know, I always used to say, like, I wish you would know what it would be like to walk in his shoes. And I guess she was saying it to me in a nice, it was a nice thing for her to sort of say in the sense that, oh, perhaps maybe you got the closest to what maybe that might be like. And, you know, all that stuff breeds a lot of awareness. And so that was helpful.
And just to wrap up, I want to sneak this question in because this is a film that feels like it's made by like a bunch of people who like love cinema and they love cinema or films that are set in New York and perhaps a certain kind of film that's set in New York. And so I don't know, maybe just to end on kind of a fun note, we could I was hoping to hear about if there are any films that were kind of on your mind when you're working on this that like got at something about trying to make a work of art like this in New York for you. Like for me, just to get it started, I guess, it like conjures a certain kind of like independent or semi-independent black comedy made in New York in the 1960s or 70s, you know, something like a Little Murders or maybe certain Robert Downey Sr. movies, this kind of thing. So I was just wondering, you know, for you guys, like I'm certain there were things on your mind. So, you know, what were they?
I don't know if I had, I was thinking of one thing. Certainly I've always liked New York films, Robert Downey films, and I think French Connection is a great New York film. I think After Hours, these are movies. But I think, to me, the thing about New York is that it's very narratively convenient because in any other city, it's very hard to make things happen. I mean, you're not going to run into people. If you're walking around chatting, it's often ludicrous in many cities. So you can be walking around, you can take any kind of transportation, you can, you know, you believe anything you see in a New York film, and that just doesn't work anywhere else, and at least in most American cities. So for me, it's really a matter of convenience more than anything else. And this is, you know, my home, so I know it fairly well.
Well, why don't we leave it there? Thank both of you for this beautiful film, for being here, and thank all of you.